man. He's about as iconic as it gets. It's getting really good reviews. Austin Butler playing Ellis. Tom Hanks playing the Colonel. So look forward to definitely checking out that. As far as the latest episode of Cinephile, as I'm checking right now, I don't remember what the hell I talked about on Monday. I did something, though. I was talking about Jerry and Mark Go Large. That's right. Bryan Cranston, Annette Bening new movie, which is available on Paramount Plus. It's based on the true story of a couple winning the lottery because they found it a hitch in the system. Basically, the more you buy, the better chance you'll win, which sounds often simplistic. But Windfall was the game. Cranston, I love. Annette Bening, very good. So I reviewed that new movie here on Paramount Plus. And the late, great Philip Baker Hall passed away at the age of 90. I talked about a film he was in called Hard Eight. He starred with Paul Thomas Anderson. You know it, Logan. Of course, he was in Boogie Nights, Magnolia. Mm-hmm. And for the casual fans like my brother, he was Bookman in Seinfeld. And he was also a doctor on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he was in the Larry David movie Clear History. Larry David said he is one of the funniest guys I've ever worked with. Philip Baker Hall, passing away at the age of 90. Classic actor's actor.
Rainn Wilson from The Office is in that Bryan Cranston movie, correct?
Yes. Not a major role. Was hoping for a little more from Rain. Michael McKean is in the Went Well from Better Call Saul, Spinal Tap. Not a whole lot. But it's a nice, sweet film for an older couple with a big heart.
Before we let you go, how did the Virk boys or the Virk family enjoy Lightyear?
Yes, I'll be reviewing Lightyear on next week's Cinephile. I took them on Tuesday. I mean, just outrageous prices because at the time we went, the only theater was available was the IMAX.
$7,000 for an adult. Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I was going to say $81 for me and four boys.
Boy.
And then the slushies and popcorn, $31. $120 to go see Lightyear. Thank God Cinephile is just killing it right now with Meadowlark. So I can just, this massive salary I'm getting is paying off the price of IMAX tickets and slushies and popcorn. Good, not great. And it goes back to our essential point, no Tim Allen. Like, the fact, it was ridiculous. I had to look it up afterwards. They said, well, it's an origin story. Tim Allen is the voice of Buzz Lightyear, the toy. This isn't the toy. This is the man. Nonsense. You got to get Tim Allen in there. Not nearly as good as the original Toy Story movies. That was Dad's opinion. Kids is always into it. To infinity and beyond. They enjoyed it, laughed, cried. Wasn't too long. They liked the cat, liked some of the supporting characters. But I thought for Pixar, a bit of a step down. Logan, did you see it?
I did. I didn't mind it. It took a minute to get into the non Tim Allen thing. I thought, yeah, it was, I think it was out there to, look, you're feeding a bit off of the Toy Story love going with a Buzz Lightyear origin story. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't groundbreaking or anything like that. I thought some of the visuals could have been a little bit better. They usually have a little bit more fun with that when they're talking about, all these unique places that they kind of go and make these things happen. But yeah, I would have loved some Tim Allen. I think it would have topped it off, but overall, not bad.
I'm with you. Not a bad kids movie, but not a great, especially the high bar that Pixar sets.
Yes, and good thing you have seven jobs to support your kids going to the movies once a month, because apparently you're going to need the cash.
That's right.
Yeah, this is why I work so hard, just to go to the movies and pay for my cable. That's where most of the money goes. It's crazy.
The reviews have been terrible, Adnan, but any early reviews you've heard of The Man from Toronto?
Yeah, I heard it's terrible. It's exactly what I mean. Listen, I saw the Kevin Hart, Woody Harrelson as well, right? I mean, for the title alone, it's going to be fantastic. But I've heard it's awful. I don't know specifically why, but apparently it's got to be just... I mean, movies like that, you're looking for action comedy. You got to nail the whole action and the comedy. It's got to be like modern-day Lethal Weapon. If it doesn't work, it's going to be a mess. And so far, it does not sound encouraging.
27% on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah, not good. Not ideal. And we'll see if maybe we can mix that one in. Although the reviews tell me that I probably shouldn't waste my time with that movie. Adnan, fabulous stuff. As always, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, man. Appreciate it.
Will, Logan, thanks so much, boys. I look forward to a review of my hit with Boomer on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. Just stay out of the strip clubs, right?
As long as it's as interesting as it was last week, we'll have no problem.
We'll try to clear it up.
There he is. Adnan Virk, every single week here on The Big Show. Usually joins us on a Thursday, but this week on a Friday. And he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. 13-time Consumer Choice Award winners for takeout or delivery. Call 403-248-3344 or dine in at Atlas Pizza tonight, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. We will take a break. When we come back, Logan's got your headlines plus a conversation with Shai Davidi. More baseball and all things Blue Jays. We roll into Hour 3 on your Friday. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Canadians stand with Ukraine. These are some recent examples of Ukrainians' strength and perseverance.
You were sort of on the border, Ukraine and Poland. You were helping families reunite or find safety. What was that like?
You would see people cross over the border and immediately just start breaking down, because that second they set foot on the soil, they thought, I am now safe. But there was a mixed emotion, because it was, I am now safe, but my husband, my children's father, my son, my whomever is still back there fighting for our freedom. So it was very mixed emotions, but you would see the resilience of these people. Children, 4 years old, walking, and they've been walking for days, pulling luggage. You saw it all. It was a lot to take in.
Canada stands with Ukraine. Donations are urgently needed. Your gift will enable the Red Cross to respond to humanitarian needs in Ukraine and surrounding countries. Donate at redcross.ca now.
Hello, this is Bitcoin Well.
Hey there. I'd like you guys to come drill a Bitcoin well on my property.
Oh, sir, we don't drill Bitcoin wells. We are Bitcoin Well.
You're gonna have to explain that.
We know Bitcoin can be a little confusing. You should come visit us at our Edmonton or Calgary location, and we'll explain how it works. We'll give you $20 in Bitcoin if you make the drive in.
Can I bring my dog?
We'd love that.
Visit bitcoinwell.com to book your in-person or online appointment. Terms and conditions apply.
Summers here really make you sweat. Armpits and back cracks dripping wet.
Ew.
Heat that makes your skin stick to your seat. So hot it sucks all the energy you've got. But there is a better way. Visit Canyon Plumbing today.
Canyon Plumbing has a large selection of air conditioning units to help keep you cool all summer. Get top brands like Lennox, Trane, Goodman, and Coleman. Plus, Canyon Plumbing has flexible financing options to help you beat the heat. Visit canyonplumbing.com.
Once in a great while, a vehicle takes the imagination of auto lovers by storm. Like the Maserati Grecale Modena, a compact luxury SUV starting at $90,850. The Grecale heralds a new segment of Maserati vehicles with an all-Italian audacity to make exceptional part of your everyday drive. Innovation, versatility, luxury, with a glimpse of the future. Learn more about the Maserati Grecale today. Visit MaseratiofAlberta.com.
Are you on the path of a heart attack? Is another one coming? Do you have high blood pressure, cholesterol, or poor circulation such as erectile dysfunction? These are big markers for heart disease. What's your risk of a heart attack or stroke in the next 5 years? HeartFit Clinic specializes in preventing and reversing heart disease. They have the most accurate screening tests and proven treatments only available at the HeartFit Clinic. No doctor's referral is required. Book your cardiac assessment today. Contact the HeartFit Clinic at heartfit.ca.
Did lightning strike your backyard birch? Did a fender crunch your back bumper? If it happens to you, we've got your back. Switch to Cooperators and save up to 35% on your home and auto insurance if you're claim-free. Plus, take advantage of features like multi-vehicle discounts and a home deductible that shrinks. Want to be backed by a leader in client experience? Call 1-877-545-2667 for a quote. Terms and conditions apply.
Like everything else at Rocky Mountain Motorsports Racetrack, memberships are going fast. Limited lifetime membership opportunities offer exclusive access to Western Canada's most unique racetrack experience. Be part of the drive at rockymotorsports.com.
A home renovation experience like no other starts with Rouse Projects. Their work is in all the details, including a meticulous project estimate and tech-savvy communication tools throughout the whole process. There's no secrets and no surprises in the cost. Just the renovation you asked for, better than expected. Rouse Projects, the exceptional experience for home renovations, including kitchens, basements, home additions, and more. They've got the 5-star and A-plus ratings to prove it. Visit RouseProjects.com. That's RouseProjects.com.
I am so impressed by the level of talent in Canada that we just had to do another season.
Apply now at CityTV.com to be part of Canada's Got Talent Season 2.
You brought down the house last year with all your amazing talent, but I think you have even more to show.
You think you have what it takes to make it on this stage?
Have a talent you want to share with the country?
If you want to make it all the way to the main stage and think you're golden buzzer worthy,
apply now at CityTV.com.
Let's go!
CFAC Calgary is Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home of the Flames. Streaming 24/7 at sportsnet.ca/960 and through the Sportsnet app. All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
We begin hour number three like we always do on this program with headlines. Welcome inside the Sportsnet 960 Downtown Studio. My name is Will Nault. We roll on the Big Show Friday. Don't forget, you can find the Big Show wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. It's a game day in the Stanley Cup Final, but there's lots happening away from the Stanley Cup Final. For the latest on your Friday sports headlines, we hand the floor and the microphone to Logan Gordon. Logo, let's start, I imagine, in Denver, Colorado.
Yes, that's where we'll start, where the Colorado Avalanche can win the Stanley Cup for the first time since 2001 with victory against the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final at Ball Arena tonight. The Avs took a 3-1 lead in the best-of-seven series with a 3-2 overtime win in Game 4 on Wednesday. Colorado now 15-3 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, including a 7-2 record at Ball Arena. The Lightning will seek to become the second team in NHL history to rally from down 3-1 in a best-of-seven Cup Final. Tampa Bay came back from trailing 3-2 in the first round against the Toronto Maple Leafs and a 2-0 hole against the New York Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final. The Lightning need three straight wins against the Avalanche to become the first team to win the Stanley Cup in three consecutive seasons since the Islanders did it back in the 1980s, Will, when they won four straight championships from 1980 to 1983. Let's hear from the coaches ahead of this one, starting with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they know their best chance at extending this one to a Game 6 back in Tampa Bay, Will, might just be the play of goaltender Andre Vasilevsky. And when he's dialed in, head coach John Cooper says they know to stay out of his way and let Vassy do his thing.
Vass's got his routine, and everybody just stays out of the way. And he everybody knows where he's going to be, what he's going to do, at what point during the day. And so we've kind of grown with this over the last couple of years. You know, when we first got out, he'd be out on the ice skating on these pregame skates. He's really trained himself. He's in exceptional shape, and he really looks after himself. But that's his whole preparation. I mean, it started yesterday. And so he has this almost dialed-in routine from where he eats to when he gets up to where he stretches, when he hydrates. It's actually really, really, it's cool to watch. But our job as a staff and players is just stay out of his way, and he does his thing.
Vasilevsky, of course, with a key performance in this one, could be the difference between the series and the season ending tonight, Will, or whether or not we're talking about a Game 6 back in Tampa Bay. On the Avalanche side of things, head coach Jared Bednar ahead of this one tonight, a lot of people saying, look, you got to have that controlled emotion heading into an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. Well, Jared Bednar, not one of those people that buys into the controlled emotion part of the game.
It's why we started preaching it day one of training camp. Focus on the process that we have to pay attention to have success. Breaking games down 5 minutes at a time, doing what we need to do to be successful. You don't preach it all year long and practice it all year long to throw it away, you know, at the most important time of year. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's a big opportunity for us. It'll be an exciting game, exciting moment. So it's got, you always hear about controlled emotion. I'm kind of the opposite with our team. Like, I besides running around and getting out of our game plan, I want us to use our energy and nervous energy and emotion to go play the game with passion, play hard, stay on our toes, and get after it. That's my message to our team has been all year. It doesn't matter. We played important games all year long, and I don't want to harness that. I want our team to get on our toes and get on the attack.
Stanley Cup in the building tonight, Will, for the first time in these playoffs. hard to really imagine it as we've been going through this process for so long, but the NHL season could conclude tonight with an Avalanche victory.
Yeah, and you kind of feel like, you know, going to the Tampa side and how you kind of set things up there, that this series and this game and maybe the future of this series all lays on the back and the shoulders of Andre Vasilevsky. I mean, he was a huge part of what Tampa was able to do in Game 3, resulting in a 6-2 victory. He was great in Game 4 and allowed the team and the Lightning to get to it overtime with essentially just being one shot away from winning that thing and evening the series at 2-2, and obviously was great in overtime as well, as the Avalanche just bombarded the Lightning in that extra period and could only hold on for so long, almost made the save. Everyone thought he made the save on Kadri's overtime winner, but it ultimately was talked, of course, inside the top of the net behind that back bar. But yeah, Vasilevsky, I feel like, is the biggest key here, especially the big storyline that we've talked a bit about today, but I think we'll certainly be curious to see what the Lightning lineup looks like just after 5:30 when the teams take the ice for warm-up. Eric Chernak looks like he's going to play, but a number of game-time decisions for the Lightning, including, you know, key pieces like a Braden Point, who was back on the ice for morning skate today, but if he does play, what does that even look like? I don't know, but you know, all the injuries that have kind of piled up here for Tampa, and I know that the Avalanche coaches, especially Jared Bednar, have gone out of their way to talk about how good of a shot-blocking team the Lightning are, and I think it's resulted in some of these banged-up bodies we're seeing here as we get deeper and deeper in the playoffs. A Lightning team who's already played two Game 7s on the other side, been pretty easy for the Avalanche. Tonight, just game, I believe, number 19. They're 15-3 coming to this game tonight. So it'll be curious to see how that plays out. But that is the biggest story. And I think if you're a Lightning team who has a bunch of guys that are bruised and battered, you're relying on a great goaltending performance to put you in that spot to potentially win a game. So, again, maybe don't want to put too much pressure on them, but pressure doesn't seem to be something that affects Andre Vasilevsky overly heavily. So I think that Vasilevsky will be just fine and certainly will be a big reason if the Lightning are able to advance past a Game 5 and extend this series. But my gut feel just tells me this thing's over tonight with the home crowd and the way the Avalanche play on home ice. Think about how dominant they were the first two games of this series. My gut feel tells me it's over, but can never really count the Lightning out until they lose that fourth game.
Another 6 p.m. start tonight, Sportsnet CBC, for your viewing pleasure. If you would like to listen to the game, we'll have it for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan at 6 o'clock. Your home of the Stanley Cup Finals is Sportsnet 960. Sticking with the NHL, Will, it sounds as though another coaching vacancy is set to be finalized, and then this time in Chicago, as the Blackhawks are set to name Luke Richardson as the team's next head coach, according to our NHL insider Frank Saravelli of Daily Faceoff. Richardson has been an assistant coach with the Montreal Canadiens since 2018. He's also worked as an assistant with the Senators and New York Islanders in his career, along with a stint as head coach of the Sens AHL affiliate. He's now 53 years old, had a playing career spanning 1,417 NHL games that included time with the Maple Leafs, Oilers, Flyers, Blue Jackets, Lightning, and Senators. Derek King ended the 2021-2022 season as the Blackhawks' interim head coach. He took over for Jeremy Colleton in November. Couldn't get the Blackhawks on track as the club finished 7th in the Central Division with a 28-42-12 record. The Bruins, Red Wings, and Jets are the remaining teams with a head coaching vacancy. And to that note, Will, TSN's Darren Dreger reporting earlier on this afternoon that Barry Trotz has informed the Winnipeg Jets that he is not ready to return to a head coaching spot and will not be accepting their offer to be the team's next head coach.
Yeah, and really, and you've talked about this, and I wouldn't say you've warned about it, but you've wondered what that means if it were to go this way, because it felt like as time goes on that maybe this was going to be the decision from Barry Trotz. He will not coach immediately. We'll sit on the sidelines for a little bit. Now the Winnipeg Jets are forced to schedule interviews with candidates, second interviews, that is. Of course, they did go through the first round before identifying Barry Trotz as their guy. And now it's all about, you know, who else can they get in there? And it sounds like they could expand their list of candidates here as well. There's still a couple of big names out there. You wonder if maybe they are a team that circles in and talks to a guy like Andrew Burnett, Logan, who this week was just informed he will not be retained as Florida Panthers head coach, and they'll go with Paul Maurice. That would be quite the switch to go from, we saw that coach trade before, did we not, with Alain Vigneault going from Vancouver to New York and Tortorella going from New York to Vancouver. It didn't work so well for the Canucks, but did okay for the Rangers as Vigneault was there for quite some time. But, yeah, I think if you're Winnipeg, you just have to now believe that there's still a great candidate out there for you. And I think there's obviously deeper questions with Winnipeg and the Jets. I mean, future of Blake Wheeler, Pierre-Luc Dubois, who informed the team this week that, you know, I'd like to test free agency in 2 years when I can. What about Mark Scheifele? Like, there's a lot there, and I think it leads you to believe as to, you know, maybe a couple of the reasons why Barry Trotz said thanks, but no thanks. And, yeah, it's unfortunate because, as you said a couple of times, Logan, it felt like they had all their eggs in that Barry Trotz basket.
Some other NHL news. This one came out last night, Will, but wanted to mention it on our show as well. Patrice Bergeron are reportedly deciding to remain with the Boston Bruins for another year. That initially reported by the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, Worcester, Joe McDonald first on that one. Nothing official yet. Sounds as though it'll be a one-year deal for the Bruins captain with 25 goals and 40 assists over 73 contests last season. And some bad news for the Flyers ahead of their offseason. Joel Farabee sidelined 3 to 4 months following successful disc replacement surgery. Sounds as though he'll miss training camp and early parts of their season. He suited up for 63 games last year, posting 17 goals and 17 assists over 63 games last year. Third player now to have a disc replacement surgery in the NHL, Will, joining Jack Eichel and Tyler Johnson.
Not what you want to hear if you're the Philadelphia Flyers, who are trying to make an adjustment and trying to, I guess, fix this team on the fly. You've got questions about Kevin Hayes, Ryan Ellis coming back next year, and now you can add Farabee to the list as, Philadelphia Flyers. Remember Kevin Hayes last year? I mean, there was all other circumstances that led into it, but he came in, thought he was going to be ready for training camp. It was delayed. Then he came back too early and was re-injured. But yeah, hoping for the best from Farabee.
Well, moving to the majors, the Toronto Blue Jays back in action after an off day yesterday. They're in Milwaukee for a rare visit to take on the Brewers as they start a series there tonight. It'll be Alek Manoah getting the start for the Jays. He is 8-2 on the season, with a 2.00 ERA and 73 strikeouts. Adrian Hauser going for the Brewers, where he is 4-7. With a 4.24 ERA and 54 strikeouts. Will, it's another 6-10 first pitch tonight. The Jays will, however, be without hitting coach Guillermo Martinez. He was suspended 5 games for his pregame interaction with umpire Doug Eddings at the end of that White Sox series. 5 games after he was ejected, apparently making contact with the umpire is what the official statement from Major League Baseball says. So a 5-game suspension for the Jays hitting coach ahead of their starting the series in Milwaukee.
Just bizarre. I mean, there was apparently contact with the umpire in that press release, and that led to the 5-game suspension. It's quite hefty. I'm not sure what the appeal process is for that, but yeah, it's very, very odd. I think 5 games is way, way too severe for that.
6-10 first pitch. If you'd like to watch tonight's game between the Blue Jays and the Brewers, you can do so on Sportsnet 1. Quick note as well, the New York Yankees and Aaron Judge avoiding arbitration, settling on a $19 million salary plus incentives for the 2022 season. Judge can earn an additional $250,000 for a first-place MVP finish. He's on a good track to do that, Will. Plus another $250,000 if you were to win World Series MVP. Yankees initially offered $17 million. Judge countered at $21 million. Two sides were unable to reach an agreement on a long-term extension before Judge had rejected a 7-year $213.5 million offer. He's been all right this year. Three-time All-Star already, leads the majors with 27 home runs, appearing in 68 of 70 games for the Yankees.
Been unbelievable, and as you say, kind of on track already, it appears, to get that MVP bonus tied in there.
Yeah, it certainly helps, right? Yeah. Nice to get that bonus while you're probably in the top spot for that. Moving to football, CFL Week 3 action continues tonight. It's a Grey Cup rematch in Winnipeg as the Hamilton Tiger Cats square off against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for the first time since the Grey Cup last December, where the Bombers were victorious 33-25 in overtime. Ticats looking to put that ugly Week 2 loss against Calgary behind them, while the Bombers hold a 2-0 record after back-to-back victories against the Ottawa Redblacks to start the season. That one, a 6:30 p.m. kickoff. Week ends on Saturday with a doubleheader. Battle of Alberta will Edmonton and Calgary, with Bo Levi Mitchell stated as a game-time decision for the Stampeders. So we could see Jake Mayer. Here's head coach Dave Dickinson earlier this week on the quarterback situation for his team.
A little soreness in that injured area that he had in week one. So I'm hopeful. He came back quite fast after the original injury. So hope it isn't an all-year type of thing, though. So that's one of those things we're going to have to monitor tomorrow. And I'm not trying to be coy or anything. It's just if he can go, I'm playing him.
Counter-argument would be, if you're worried that it might be a recurring thing and end up playing him, why not just go with Jake, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know if this is going to be something to get healed in a week. You know, because you play each week to win, and whether you're not really trying to pace yourselves, you're trying to win. So if he tells me he's good to go, I'm going to play him. I think he's obviously coming off a good game, and he has some momentum in his side. He knows he's gone against Chris Jones' defenses a lot, so that to me would be a positive if we can get him out there.
No Trey Roberson on the defensive side of things for the Calgary Stampeders. Good news, however, they do get Jonathan Moxey back in their secondary. Former Edmonton Elk Tremaine Washington, who the Stampeders signed a couple of weeks ago, will also make his Stampeders debut and get a start in that backfield. The week ends off with the BC Lions hosting the Argonauts tomorrow night.
Any questions about Bo? I think that'll be one to watch as we get closer to tomorrow. I said it earlier, I think week three of the season would be, I would understand if they wanted to rest him, especially with a bye in week four. But as Dave, you just heard from Dave, I mean, you play every week to win. And it sounds like even if you gave him the week off, maybe it doesn't heal completely. So it's an interesting spot to be in, but it'll be a story to watch tomorrow as we get closer to that 5 o'clock kickoff for sure from McMahon.
And last note quickly here from the NFL, Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio reporting that New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara bracing for a suspension of at least 6 games due to a potential violation of the league's personal conduct policy. Kamara was arrested following the 2022 Pro Bowl and faces a felony battery charge for allegedly injuring a person at a Vegas nightclub following the Saturday prior to the game. A 6-game suspension is the current standard for felony battery in the NFL's personal conduct policy. He has a hearing set for August 1st, Will.
Sounds like that's pretty straightforward for Alvin Kamara.
And last but not least, if you're looking for something to do on this Friday evening, why not head to Siemens Stadium in Okotoks, the Okotoks Dogs, with a quick 1-game series against the Sylvan Lake Gulls. You can head to dogsbaseball.ca for tickets. There's your Friday edition of headlines, Will.
Take a break when we come back. Thank you for that, sir. As always, we begin Hour 3 with headlines. And when we come back, the Blue Jays beginning a weekend series in a rare spot. What about the reaction to the 5-game suspension for Martinez? All that and more as we roll on. Hour 3 of the Big Show is live on your Friday afternoon. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome back to the program. Live on this Friday inside the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio in Calgary. It's Will Nault, Logan Gordon along with you. Don't forget tonight on your radio, Stanley Cup Final game number 5 from Denver. The Avalanche and Lightning will go at it with the Stanley Cup in the building. Avalanche 1 win away, leading that series 3-1. On television and on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Sportsnet 1 is where you can find it. 6:10 first pitch. Blue Jays in Milwaukee to face the Brewers. The beginning of a weekend series at a very rare stop for the Blue Jays on this circuit, as they, of course, don't go to Milwaukee a ton. Some interleague action this weekend. Talk about that and a whole lot more. Down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline we go to welcome in Sportsnet.ca's Shai Davidi, who, of course, covers all things Blue Jays. And Shai, kind enough to give us some time on this Friday. Good afternoon, Shai. How are you, man?
I'm all right. What's going on?
Not much. It's always nice to, and I've heard nothing but good things. I don't know if you're there or not, but I know that Milwaukee is usually a fun stop and a nice stadium. This is rare times for Toronto to be in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm actually not on that trip. Our colleague Arden Zwellinger has got this series, but it's definitely a fun stadium. And I mean, the nice thing is that these things are going to start happening a little bit more often next year when, you know, every team is going to play each other at least once. And essentially, you'll be in every National League park every other year. So these visits are going to get a little bit more frequent. But it's definitely a good town, good stadium, and it's going to be a pretty interesting series, too.
No doubt about it. There's a lot of different storylines, but we have to start with what happened Wednesday in Chicago. Shai, your reaction to a 5-game suspension for hitting coach Guillermo Martinez?
Yeah, you know, it shouldn't be surprising. There's some contact. This is not something that you typically see. And, you know, the Blue Jays have had their run-ins with Doug Eddings before. You may remember in 2015 when he and Brooke Jacoby, who was the hitting coach at the time, got into it at the tunnel of Fenway Park. Jacoby ended up getting a 15 or 20-game suspension. Can't remember the exact number, but he got a sizable suspension there. And Doug Eddings hadn't worked Blue Jay games for a while after that. So, you know, it's not different personnel, different generation of team, but a familiar situation. And, I understand what Guillermo Martinez was doing in that spot. He's trying to stand up for his players. He's trying to make a point. It was a very poor strike zone, quite obviously, in that game. But by the same token, you can't do that. And there are ways to engage and to make your point in a more constructive fashion than that. And ultimately, you know, this is costly to Guillermo Martinez, who's going to have to forfeit 5 games worth of salary, and it's going to be costly to the Blue Jays. We're going to be without their hitting coach for 5 days.
That series in Chicago overall, Shai, in terms of what's happened on the field and not talking about the umpiring, which certainly was subpar on Tuesday, the Blue Jays lose 2 of 3, and there was some tough one-run losses in there.
Yeah, I mean, they could have easily been 2 out of 3, but... You know, it hasn't been a good turn of the rotation. You know, so, I mean, Ross Stripling certainly changed that on Wednesday afternoon with a really fortifying outing at an opportune time. So that was certainly good. But you know, the Blue Jays rotation is putting the bullpen in bad spots. And look, the bullpen hasn't been great. There's no sugarcoating that. By the same token, the rotation has been putting them in some awful situations, and they've set it up that, you know, essentially the lower rung of the Blue Jays bullpen is doing the predominant amount of work, which is not what you want. So it's been, you know, like, if they're going to change their fortunes and get a little bit more consistent, they're going to have to get back to the steady starting pitching that they've done for a little while. Kevin Gausman's pitched in some bad luck, but he was a bit better. You know, Jose Barrios had a blip after seemingly turning the corner. Yusei Kikuchi is still, you know, a bit of a mystery. Alec Manoa, last time out against the Yankees, had a rare blip. So, you know, they've got some things going on that they've got to figure out there. And, you know, the bullpen is an understandable focal point. To me, it's got to start with the rotation, because they were built to have a rotation that logged the majority of innings, and that hasn't been happening. And then, you know, the offense, for the most part, has done what it's needed to do. So, it wasn't a great series. They still could have won 2 out of 3. Very easily, if Jordan Romano's maybe a bit fresher in that Tuesday game. It didn't happen, and you know, now they're in Milwaukee trying to salvage the road trip.
Speaking of guys that the Jays are probably looking for more out of the rotation, Shai, imagine Jose Barrios is probably at the top of that list.
Yeah, you know, like, as I mentioned, he started to turn the corner a little bit, and it looked like he, you know, was kind of settling in, and then had a really, really rough outing against the White Sox, where he was giving up a lot of lasers, You know, the breaking ball, he wasn't able to command that. If he's not commanding the breaking ball, you know, it doesn't matter how good he is with the fastball. He needs that to be his out weapon, and it wasn't. So, you know, I think you look beforehand, you look at the way that he pitched coming into that, and there were a lot of positive signs and doing a lot of right things that, you know, I think the Blue Jays started feeling pretty good about where he was getting. So, you know, maybe that's just a one-off and just an off night. But, you know, clearly I think the Blue Jays are going to be watching closely for what he does next time out, make sure that, you know, that's just a one-start aberration and not part of the earlier season trend that they were trying to get him out of.
It's probably frustrating for Kevin Gausman the other day to have such a sterling performance and sort of get back on track only for it to turn into that wild night that it was against Chicago.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that we'd seen Gausman kind of pitch into some bad luck, you know, like to get bit by the BABIP monster a little bit and really pitch better than some of the results showed. So I think if you like compared his ERA from May to his fielding independent pitching, you know, it was about five runs of variance there. So, you know, he was definitely hitting into some tough luck and maybe not getting, you know, a couple plays made behind him. So, you know, I think the results weren't good, but I don't think he was pitching as poorly as the results suggest. And I think there's less concern about him, but certainly they need him to be more like he was in April when he looked just simply invincible. And, you know, if he can get back to there, then all of a sudden a lot of the issues start disappearing on this team.
It's only been 8 games in the majors so far for Gabriel Moreno, but what have you made of his young and early start to his MLB career?
A lot to like, right? I mean, you see the raw tools, and it's been very impressive, you know, just at the plate, in the field, his throwing, his athleticism, his blocking, his receiving. Thing is, you know, he's a 22-year-old kid who's caught, you know, 10 games in the big leagues. You know, that there's going to be some inexperience. There's going to be some getting used to game calling. There's going to be some different elements that you just can't fast track. And so, you know, I think the Blue Jays are doing their best to not overexpose him in trying to kind of just make sure that he's doing enough to keep Alejandro Kirk, who's having an all-star campaign, as fresh as possible. And so it's an interesting balance there. I can certainly see a scenario where he stays when Danny Jansen is back, and then the Blue Jays create a three-headed monster there between, you know, catcher spot and designated hitter. But just because the contact skills are so good, like he doesn't beat himself at the plate. He can do a bunch of different things. He can get the bat head onto any pitch, it seems, that he wants to. He can make good quality contact. He makes adjustments. He doesn't beat himself at the plate. There's just a ton to like. So, you know, you have to sort of, but again, you have to temper that against the youth, the inexperience. And, you know, sometimes that can be tough for a team that has championship aspirations. So, you know, that balance is the one that the Blue Jays are trying to tightwalk their way through right now. And, you know, I think all things considered, given where they are in the situation, and, you know, again, the balance of having to keep, you know, Moreno from being overexposed, from Kirk keeping him physically fresh and awaiting Danny Jansen to come off the injured list, you know, the Blue Jays are sort of doing their best under the circumstances with that.
He is Shai Davidi, all things Blue Jays for Sportsnet.ca, kind enough to join us today as they are in Milwaukee to begin a 3-game weekend set with Alek Manoah on the mound. First pitch at 6:10 this evening on Sportsnet 1 on television. You mentioned it there in that answer, and that's kind of where I was going to go next, Shai. I mean, is that the expectation that we see them carry 3 catchers when Danny Jansen's ready to come back?
You know, I do think that's on the table. Obviously, from a roster perspective, it's not ideal. But, you know, given the way that the Blue Jays are using their catchers this year, with, you know, Kirk regularly DHing when he's not behind the plate, and, you know, the risk of losing the DH, or, you know, putting yourself in a position where, you know, you have to burn both your catchers. And if something happens, you're using Santiago Espinal behind the plate, which nobody wants. You know, there are a lot of risks there to the way the Blue Jays have been approaching it. But Kirk's bat is too good to not be in the lineup on a regular basis. And for the sake of, you know, making sure you're not overworking him, he's not going to be able to catch every day. So, you know, that leads me to believe that in an ideal world, you know, they're carrying three catchers. And, you know, I know we're starting to get near to trade deadline time. And obviously other teams are going to be calling and asking about the catchers and trying to get one of them. And, you know, under the right circumstances, the Blue Jays would certainly have to consider it. But there's certainly a case to be made for carrying three catchers. And they've done it for significant chunks of the season thus far, which leads me to believe that they feel they can do it over an extended period if they needed to.
We saw it already, obviously, Alejandro Kirk, the story with over a million votes. And we saw it, you know, going back a handful of years where Jose Bautista led, I believe, all voters in back-to-back years in terms of all-star voting. Canada once again showing their power as the Blue Jays are looking like they're going to have multiple faces in Los Angeles next month.
Yeah, I mean, shout out Blue Jays fans. Like, you guys vote with a passion that few other fan bases, if any, can match. So, you know, I think it's part of the strength of having a national market. It's part of the strength of the brand. And, you know, I think it's if you play for the Blue Jays, it makes you feel great to know you have that kind of support. At the same time, you look at Kirk's numbers. I mean, he's third in the American League. It's not just Blue Jay fans who are voting for him. You know, he's getting notice, and rightfully so, because everything that he does is elite, you know, from the plate discipline, the contact, you know, more walks than strikeouts, you know, the powers come in, his pitch framing has been excellent. His throwing has improved. His blocking is better. All these things that are doing, you know, like you look at him, you know, he's leading, I believe, all catchers in WAR, and, you know, it shows on the field. So, you know, other fans have noticed, you know, there's no way that he's getting that many votes only from one market. And he's earned it. He deserves it. He's been every bit as good as the numbers say. And it would be a just reward if he ends up starting the All-Star game.
Shai, he's not going to play tonight again. I know that he was undergoing some more tests on his elbow. What's your gut or what's your feel on George Springer and where things are at right now?
I mean, it's a good question. It had been lingering. He'd been playing through it for a while. And, you know, how bad it is, you know, only he knows at this point. But, you know, he's been a pretty durable player this year. He's been determined to stay on the field as much as possible. And I mean, I don't know this, but I'm wondering if it's getting to the point where the Blues just say, let's give it 4 or 5 days. Let's see if we calm it down and we can get it through. And then if it doesn't sort of ease, then maybe that transitions him into an IL stint. And then, you know, there's a bit more of an extended break there. But, you know, just because of the fact that it was lingering and, you know, that he doesn't feel like he's ready today, my guess is that, you know, they're starting to think about maybe, you know, sitting him for a week and a half and seeing if that does a trick. But again, I'm speculating a bit there.
I guess as we look at this weekend series and some of the storylines, it's been a pretty good season so far for Rowdy Tellez in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for Rowdy. You know, he was blocked a little bit here. He wasn't going to get an opportunity, and he got the opportunity there and has been making the most of it. And, you know, I think everybody knows the terrific backstory, how the Blue Jays found him, how he ended up signing, you know, the losing his mom just before making his big league debut, and then the resilience that he's shown in making adjustments when, you know, the major leagues showed him a few things that he had to adjust to, you know, and the power was always there. And, you know, he was an incredibly popular player for a short time here. But, you know, there wasn't a real opportunity for him here. There wasn't enough of a runway. And, you know, the Blue Jays were able to make a need-for-need trade with the Brewers. And, you know, Trevor Richards helped turn around and stabilize a bullpen that desperately needed stabilizing last year. So, certainly certainly a great opportunity for him, and it's nice to see that he's made the most of it thus far.
And as we started the conversations talking about the starting rotation, maybe a good place to end your feel and your expectation for Manoah tonight. A rare home loss for him last time out.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the Yankees just wore him out, which is what they do to a lot of starting pitchers, so there's no shame in that. And, you know, it's probably unrealistic to think he's going to pitch with a sub-2 ERA all season long. But, you know, he's been – it's amazing that he's just barely got a season's worth of big league starts under his belt now, and how linear the path forward for him has been. And, you know, you rarely see him – I don't know if he's ever had two rough starts back-to-back to this point. You know, he's certainly shown a remarkable ability to adapt after a bad outing and recover. But, you know, Milwaukee's a pretty good test. It's a ballpark where the ball flies, so you better not make some mistakes. And it's an interesting lineup that he's going to be facing. So certainly an intriguing matchup. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Manoah recovers and pitches the way that he's capable of, because it's something that he's done consistently throughout his short big league career thus far.
And I guess just from a league-wide perspective, and certainly staying in the AL East, and we'll end here, Shai, just your thoughts. I mean, you just saw them in Toronto last weekend. Toronto was able to avoid the sweep Sunday with a win, but 52 wins in 70 games. Like, this Yankee team is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they're off to a historically good start. You know, back in Toronto, they were off to the third best start in Major League history through 66 games or whatever it was. And, you know, they just keep winning. And everyone thought, okay, well, we'll see what happens when they start playing good teams. And, well, now they're starting to play good teams and they're still winning. So everything's gone right for them. You know, the one thing that you wonder, like, they haven't really had any health issues to this point. And that's something that is unusual for them. They've got a handful of players who have had a lot of injuries, and you wonder if they can continue to avoid that, or if at some point, you know, Judge or Stanton or Hicks or any one of a number of other players end up back on the injured list, and what happens at that point. But I mean, right now they're playing about as well as you can see a team play. You know, they're executing on the mound, they're executing at the plate, their game planning looks strong. You know, the way their defensive alignments look like they're on point. To paraphrase, or borrow from Brian Cashman, the general manager, they are very much like a fully operational Death Star right now, and they're showing it on the field every night.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I mean, the other thing you wonder is, you play this good for all, you know, the entire season. I kind of wonder what they might do in October if they are faced with any sort of adversity, and if they're prepared for it. But it's been fun to watch, and it makes it tough for teams like Toronto, who already have a 12.5 game deficit in the American League East. Shai, great stuff as always, man. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy these games against Milwaukee, and we'll do this again soon. But thanks for this today.
No problem. You guys, too, have a great weekend.
You bet. There you go, Shai Davidi from Sportsnet.ca. All things Blue Jays. And he joins us, as always, on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. For every dollar you spend, earn points towards free pizza with their rewards program. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. Logan, you've got a big road trip this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, nothing like a weekend trip to Edmonton.
Going to see the beautiful scenery in Edmonton.
Yeah, really looking forward to seeing the roads in Edmonton.
What, you're actually going up there for a good reason?
I am going up there for a good reason.
All
yes.
Joking aside.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Garth. I'm always a big
Have you seen him before?
I have. I saw him last time he came to Calgary.
So this is not new for you.
I've never seen him outside, though, at Commonwealth Stadium. So,
what's the weather like? Have you
supposed to be nice.
Checked it out?
Yeah, supposed to be good.
Better than here. It's been a lot of rain.
It has been a lot of rain. Mm. Sing the night away. I don't care what the weather's going to be like, to be honest. As long as it's a go, I'll be happy. What are you getting up to? You running this weekend?
No running. Fairly quiet weekend, and it's going to be spent with a lot of family, though, so looking forward to that. And, should be good. We'll see if the Stanley Cup gets handed out tonight as the Avalanche getting set for Game 5 against the Tampa Bay Lightning, leading that series 3-2. to 1. 6 p.m. puck drop. All the action, of course, right here on Sportsnet 960. The boys will tee up for Game 5, no doubt about it. Some other topics, I'm sure, involved. And, of course, some Flames conversation as well. Flames talk with Pat and Matt is next. And the latest from the Calgary Stampeders, a game-time decision as quarterback Bo-Levi Mitchell a little bit shaky the last couple of days of practice. We'll get you set for the Elks and the Stampeders as well with the football hour later on this afternoon. All that as we roll on your Friday. Glad you're with us. Have a fabulous weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. This has been The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.